And we're going to keep that chatter going with our next guest, Gordon White. Thank you for coming in and talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, you are the manager of Melbourne Museum, and, you know, that's a very interesting role in itself, and we're going to be talking about that very soon. But, you know, let's go back a few years and, you know, where did you get started in your industry? Like, where did it start for you?
Yeah, okay, so we go way back.
Let's go way back.
Yes, I'm a Melbourne boy, yep. So I've always been born and bred in Melbourne, eastern suburbs. Went out to school in Ringwood, and when I did my VCE, I finished and did a degree in teaching. Mm-hmm. And spent about 8.5, 9 years teaching, which I really enjoyed. Had a great time teaching, but decided at some point that I wanted to do something a bit different. So I ended up working at the State Library of Victoria, managing their education services. Okay. I spent 3 years there, and that was a fantastic time. But then I decided to move to the Melbourne Aquarium. I spent 5 years at Melbourne Aquarium and gravitated across to sort of running the front of house and the maintenance and the IT and sort of basically doing the general management type roles at the aquarium. And then in 2010, I was tapped on the shoulder to go across to Dubai and actually spent 3 years across in Dubai in the UAE, managing the Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo. And 2013, my contract expired and back I came to Melbourne and was incredibly fortunate to pick up a job at Melbourne Museum, which I'm still there.
So now you've got sort of three iconic Melbourne institutions under your belt. Yep. You know, how do they kind of talk to each other in that way when it comes to your career?
Well, I think the main thing is they're all about... a lot of them have got a really strong thread of education and community education. So there are quite a lot of similarities between particularly the State Library and the museum. I think the aquarium was probably a slightly more commercial enterprise, and there was a lot more, I guess, emphasis on revenue generation and breaking even, because there was no funding, no government funding at all. But I think the reality is they're all places I'm really proud to have worked at, and they're all places that I think Melburnians can resonate with. So it's good fun, and I'm really happy to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, yes, and you know, Melbourne Museum is you know, pushing things forward in terms of what a museum can be, especially, and we're going to get to that very soon about your new attraction, I guess you would call it.
Yes.
But you know, what does a general day, you know, and what is there a normal day in your job at Melbourne Museum?
Well, I think that's the beauty of my job. It's a great role because there is not a lot of days that are similar. I mean, it can be from as weird as, you know, we've just dredged up some items on a CSIRO boat, basically off the east coast of Australia, and so we've got scientific researchers out there all the time. It can be as weird as that, or it can be as mundane as, you know, going to meetings and doing what everybody else does. So there's a really generous spread of kind of interesting activities, and a lot of it's public facing, but there's also a lot that's behind the scenes. So it's a really good blend of being able to interact with the public and see and put something out onto the floor, but also from a strategy perspective, the 3 to 5 to 10 year strategy of where the museum will be.
Well, that's what I was going to touch on. You know, is it, do you look that far ahead? Is 10 the furthest you look, or even further?
10 to 15. Mm. I mean, a lot of our permanent exhibitions were built for 15 years. Wow. So if you have been recently, you'll probably see some exhibitions that haven't been changed over for the best part of a decade. We're going to pivot that a little bit and try and get our exhibitions actually changing over on a more frequent basis. So we'll have some permanent exhibitions that last for many years, but we're going to have a lot more exhibitions that are actually changed on a more regular basis. So that's a real change in strategy for us, because I think the way cultural organisations are moving, we really need to be refreshing our offer a little bit more often.
Would it be somewhat similar to what NGV does? You know, they keep a lot of their stuff away until they find the perfect moment for it to shine in that way. Would it be something similar to that?
It is similar. Yeah. And I think one of the areas which is going to be quite interesting, which we're doing at the end of this year, is we're actually bringing some of our own collection items out. And that's one thing that the NGV, I think, has done really well. They bring out their own collection items and they pivot exhibitions around those. And the museum, to a lesser extent, probably hasn't done that as much as we could have. We've tended to get exhibitions from you know, big touring exhibitions, which have done really well,
of course,
like Tutankhamun and Pompeii and so on, Jurassic World. But we're going to do more of that, where we do short-term, more reactive exhibitions that showcase the state collection.
Well, let's go back to some of those, you know, really iconic exhibitions that you've had here. And that was my first experience with the Tutankhamun exhibition. I wasn't living here at the time. I came on holiday. And it was such an experience, something that Melburnians and visitors alike just came to in droves and loved. So I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, is it rewarding to sort of get that feedback and see people's faces light up when they come and see things?
It is. It's incredibly rewarding. I mean, that's what I mentioned before. It's a great role in the sense that you go to work every day feeling pretty good about what you do. I mean, there's an output to it. Generally speaking, there's an educational upside, but there's also an entertainment side of the business, which, you know, we really try to make sure that we hold dear to. So, you know, things like Tutankhamun, we had almost 800,000 people come through in 10 months. It was difficult because once we had that bar set, it's kind of like, you know, what are you doing next? So it's taken us a few years to get back anywhere close to that sort of visitation. I think last year we had 425,000 people come through the Jurassic World exhibition, which was really exciting for us. And it was more of that entertainment, I guess, and less of the science. Mm-hmm. But again, great to see a real spread of visitors and different types of people coming through, from families to adults, and a lot of tourists.
And, you know, is there sort of a brains trust that sort of throws around these ideas, you know, that's generated in-house of, you know, what would really work in the space?
Yeah, there is. We do something, we do a lot of testing with our audiences. So we've got audience segmentation. So we kind of know what our audiences are looking for from each of our museums, mm-hmm. because, of course, we've got Science, Works and Immigration Museum as well. And each of those museums kind of represents or has a different demographic. Melbourne Museum's very much family audiences. Mm-hmm. I think around 70% of our audience are metro families. And then we also have a lot of intrastate, but also interstate and international guests. So we have tended to focus on our Melbourne metropolitan audiences, but we want to also reach out to other audiences as well.
Now, I'm going to be talking to you more about something very exciting. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. We're talking with Gordon White, manager of Melbourne Museum. You're on Joy.
Love your footy? Tired of the boys' club that usually bring you the news of Australia's favourite game? Then tune in to Chicks Talkin' Footy. No macho men, just chicks who know the game. Highlights of the round, interviews with women of the game, umpires, players, coaches and more. For your weekly dose of AFL and AFLW news, these chicks have you covered. Chicks Talkin' Footy, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Joy and available via podcast. Sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL Women's since day one. Lovely.
The Mind Equality Centre is a brand new space in North Fitzroy, offering a safe space for psychological healing. Our counsellors and occupational therapists are from the LGBTI community, so you won't have to explain to them what it means to be same-sex attracted, of diverse gender, or gender questioning. You can just get on with working on your mental health and well-being. Call 13000-LGBTI to book an appointment now, or find out more about how we can help you. That's 1-300-054-284 or 13000-LGBTI. Joy sponsor.
Thank you so much for joining us on Joy 94.9. Sunday Arts Magazine. We're here till 5 p.m. Brendan and Neil with you. Shout out to David. He's not with us today, but he will be back next week. But we've also kept around Gordon White from Melbourne Museum. And I've been teasing, I guess, a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. But it's something very exciting from my perspective, I'm sure from yours as well. Something called Nocturnal, which, you know, is bringing certain things to mind. But let's talk about that now. What is this initiative that you've got going?
So we've decided that we'd like to actually have, you know, really get some new audiences in. And as I said before, we've had a lot of emphasis on family audiences. But moving forward, we'd really like to have, I guess, more of an impact with adult audiences. So Nocturnal's going to be this Friday night, the first of mm-hmm. Our series. We're actually having adult-only parties at the Melbourne Museum, commencing at 6 p.m., running through till 11 p.m, where we're going to have bands and food, and some of our collection experts will be out on the floor talking to guests. So around about 2,000 people will be coming into Melbourne Museum, and we'll hopefully be having a great night.
And so what's the feedback been from your own curators about this initiative? Are they excited to sort of get out and I guess because it might be a little bit frustrating talking to kids sometimes where they're not able to talk at an adult level about this incredible collection they may be showing off. So have you heard positive feedback so far?
We have. They're very excited. And we have done things like this a little bit similar before. I think we had smart bars over the last couple of years. So they were a similar type of thing, but without the music. And it does inspire our curators and our collection experts to come out, and they're very interested in coming out and speaking to people because they do a lot of work behind the scenes. They're very knowledgeable and they like to talk at all different levels. So they do talk to kids, but they also want to talk to adults. And I think they just want to have a fun time as well. So we'll have quite a lot of our staff there roaming around, and we'll have heaps of food, heaps of drink, and two amazing bands.
And what does something like this do for the space? Because I guess it's sort of seen in a certain way, 9 to 5 or whatever the opening hours are each week. You know, what does it do for the perception, I guess, of the space?
Yeah, look, it's a total reset. So it's going from, you know, daily operations, which is effectively, you know, your normal museum operations. We'll close at 5. We've got an hour to get the thing reset. And in terms of perception, it really changes the way people see the museum and see the collections. So I think that's really important for us to really display that the museum's about more than just daily visitation. There's so much behind the scenes. There's a lot of knowledge and a lot of people. And I think the people can be the heroes, and as you will see on Friday night, there's going to be a lot of collection experts who are interested in coming out and talking to the Melbourne public, and that should be very exciting.
And is it exciting as, you know, for you as well to sort of basically show off a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm getting a bit older these days, but and I probably can't keep up with the kids, but it is exciting because it's also a fun event for the staff, and it's something that we're very proud of our museum, we're very proud of our collections, and the opportunity to get out and show what we have and how we do things, it's sort of a bit constrained in a way because we don't get to talk to adults of our own age as often as we'd like.
Mm. Okay, sorry. So during this this event, I suppose, which is the first one, are all the exhibitions open? Like, can people access every part of the museum?
Yes.
Or is it just ones? Oh, okay, so
yes. So it's a bit different to what we've done with the Smart Bar, where we've only kept, say, one or two exhibitions open. The whole museum's open this time around. So we're expecting up to 2,000 people. So it's going to be quite busy. We need the space, and we're hoping to have everything open. We will have everything open, and there'll be full access to the museum.
Okay, that's just then that makes it a different way, I suppose, of visiting the museum and seeing the exhibitions with that sort of relaxing sort of...
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And there's only a few places you won't be able to take drinks, so you'll be able to buy a drink at the bar and walk all the way through.
Okay.
We'll have special lighting. We've got two great bands, by the way. So we've got Jacoby playing a DJ set at the start, and then Dorsal Fins, who are amazing, both amazing Melbourne bands, and they'll be on stage from around about 9 p.m.
Okay. And what other, you know, so talking about the exhibition, so what can people see? What are some of the, what are some of your highlights do you think people will really gravitate towards?
Oh, I think the dinosaur walk will be pretty cool at night. So to see that, you know, with different lighting and a different mood will be incredible. Forest Gallery's an amazing space as well. So we've got almost a hectare of, you know, rainforest in the middle of an amazing, incredible building. So that's going to be a pretty cool spot to be. I think just socialising in the main areas. So there's some really, you know, architecturally quite beautiful spaces that will lend themselves really well to nighttime parties. The cafe is going to be open. We're going to change up the cafe to something completely different. Yeah. We've got a lot of great drinks and beers and sliders and all sorts of other things. So just to see it in a more relaxed and more natural way is probably going to be a bit of fun.
And I sort of mentioned or asked you about, you know, the 10-year plan, the 15-year plan. So how does this sort of fit into that, you know, looking forward for Melbourne Museum?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, and we're currently working through our strategic plan, so I can't say too much, but what I do know is that we know we want to reach the current audiences that we reach, and that's predominantly Victorian families, but we know that there's a lot of people out there in the state that haven't engaged, so one of the common conversations we have is, oh, so you work at the museum. I haven't been there for a long time. I went there as a school kid. I haven't been back. And that's one of the things that we'd like to change. We want to see more people coming more often, and they can be from any walk of life. Tourists are a big part of our mix moving forward. So we want to engage more with Chinese tourists and international tourists. Mm-hmm. But just reach out to our adult audiences who've probably not had enough from us in terms of product offering.
Yeah, and I suppose something like the Immigration Museum having, I can't remember the name of it now, but the over summer...
Yeah, Courtyard Cantinas, probably. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm guessing it... Was that a very successful thing?
Yeah, so they go crazy. Yeah. Those festivals, we have a lot of community festivals at Immigration Museum and they've done really well for us. You know, we get 1,500 people on a Friday night in sort of January and February and that's proven to be a model that works really well. And I think the location for both Immigration Museum and Melbourne Museum, you know, it can be really pivotal because if you're going out to stop in till 11 at the Melbourne Museum and then head off somewhere else, you've got Carlton, Fitzroy, Collingwood, you know, the CBD. It's an amazing location. So we're hoping it'll be the starting off point, the kicking off point for a great night out.
Sounds great. Yeah, you're right. There's so many options around there, either before or after dinner or whatever
for sure.
So. Yeah.
Sorry, and you also mentioned that this was the first of a few that you have organised. Are they all organised like in the coming sort of months or is that later on? And is there anywhere, I suppose you've got Dorsal Fins playing this week.
Yep.
Do you already have other acts scheduled for the future events or is that something that's... You're in planning still?
Yeah, we're still in planning. We have had some discussions and we're talking to some similarly sort of well-known Melbourne bands and we're confident that we'll have some announcements probably this Friday on the night for the next session. But yeah, we're moving forward in our planning to make sure that we have some really sort of Melbourne-centric and well-known Melbourne acts. That's really where we want to be. We want to be showcasing what we have in this town. And so whilst we haven't got them all nailed down at this stage, they'll be announced on our website hopefully in the next few days.
Okay. It'll be a great gig for whoever gets involved.
Yeah,
anyway,
good gigs. So I think the guys are really excited to play.
Now, how can people get more information about Nocturnal at Melbourne Museum?
Yep, so you can just go to the Museums Victoria website or the Melbourne Museum website. We've got early bird tickets on sale. They're $25. They'll be $35 on the door on the night. So, if you want to get more information, please head to our website.
Perfect. Well, that is Melbourne Museum Nocturnal. And a big thank you to Gordon White, manager of the museum, for coming in and having a chat with us today on Joy 94.9. Certainly a new way to see the museum. So I think it's going to be a very big success from my perspective anyway. You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine.